Let us pray. O Lord, you are our God. By the power of your Holy Spirit, teach us through your word to love you better and follow you more faithfully. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our first scripture reading this morning is from the Old Testament book of Ruth, starting in chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, and then skipping down to chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Naomi said to her mother-in-law, "My daughter, I need to seek some security for you so that it may be well with you. Now here is our kinsman Boaz, with whose young women you have been working. See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Now wash and anoint yourself and put on your best clothes and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. And when he lies down, observe the place where he lies. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do." And she said to her, "All that you tell me, I will do." So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. When they came together, the Lord made her conceive, and she bore a son. Then the women said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without next of kin, and may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has borne him." Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her bosom and became his nurse. The women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi," and they named him Obed. He became the father of Jesse and the father of David. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second reading this morning is from the Epistle of Hebrews, chapter 9, verses 24 through 28. Hear again what the Spirit is saying to the church. For Christ did not enter a sanctuary made by human hands, a mere copy of the true one, but he entered into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself again and again as the high priest enters the holy place year after year with blood that is not his own. For he would have had to suffer again and again since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the age to remove sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for mortals to die once, and after that the judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who eagerly are waiting for him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Taking life.
Our final reading this morning is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, verses 38 through 44. Hear again what the Spirit is saying to you, the church. As Jesus taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplace, and to have the best seats in the synagogue and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." Jesus sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. And many rich people put in large sums. And a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins with a worth about a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. On any other day in the temple, this widow and her two small copper coins would have gone unnoticed. On any other day, she would have slipped in, dropped her two last coins into the treasury, which was either a small box or perhaps a special room in the treasury. She would have slipped in, dropped her coins, and slipped back out again. Her gift wasn't large and extravagant like those who had contributed out of their abundance. Those people and those gifts, they would have gotten noticed. They would have gotten a lot of special attention. But no one would have ever even known about this widow and her little gift of love, her two small copper coins. No one would have even known she had been there. The scribes of the temple surely wouldn't have noticed her. Inside the temple, the scribes were too busy prancing around in their fancy robes and jostling for the best seats in the house to notice someone like the widow. They were too busy praying big, long, flowery prayers for the sake of appearance and impressing the people around them, and jockeying for positions of honor at every feast and banquet. Even outside of the temple, the scribes still wouldn't have noticed someone like the widow because they were too busy prancing around, waiting to be shown the respect that they thought they so richly deserved. Dante, in his poem, The Inferno, talks about a special circle of hell for hypocrites like these scribes. A place where they get to keep their big, fancy, gorgeous, flowing robes, but on the inside they are lined with lead. And so to even stand is an abiding agony. Here in Mark's gospel, Jesus paints the scribes, with whom he has been tangling for about two chapters now, as vain, pompous, proud, and arrogant. They are hypocritical, greedy, and self-centered. And never in a million years would they have noticed this widow as she brings her last penny to drop it in the offering plate. Because, as Jesus said, they are too busy devouring widows' homes. Biblical scholars are uncertain what exactly that means, this phrase, devouring widows' homes. But their best guess is that these religious leaders were doing something that was making the already vulnerable widow population feel obligated to give more to the temple than they could really afford. The scribes were so busy trying to make a quick buck, presumably for themselves, that they were manipulating the most vulnerable segment of their population. So distracted by that they would have never even noticed that this widow had given them her last two coins. So on any other day in the temple, no one would have noticed the widow. But this was not any other day, because Jesus is there, and he's teaching his disciples. And Jesus notices her. Jesus sees the widow when everybody else is too busy, too grand, too spiritual, too self-absorbed to see her. So he sees her and he uses her, not just as a foil or a contrast to the hypocrisy of the scribes, but he uses her as an example of one whose house, whose very life is being devoured by the scribe. She is faithful with her gift of love, even though it was too much to ask for. In return for her gift of love, Jesus gives her one of his own, the gift of seeing her when no one else does. I wish Mark would have told us what it was about this widow that Jesus notices. Instead, I guess he leaves it up to our imagination to fill in the details. So perhaps what Jesus notices about this widow is her courage. It can't have been easy for her to bring her meager little gift, knowing that there would be others coming and going who would be bringing fistfuls of coins with them, silver dollars compared to her pennies. Or maybe what he notices is her dignity. Surely this particular widow believed that her tiny gift had some value in God's eyes, which is why she gave it. Or maybe what Jesus sees in this widow is a reflection of his own story. The widow gave everything she had to serve a world so broken that it probably killed her. She gave all she had nothing else to live on. And just 4 days after this story, Jesus gives everything he has on the cross for that same world, to redeem it, restore it, and renew it. On any other day in that temple, this widow and her two small copper coins would have been invisible. But on this day, Jesus notices her and singles out her faithfulness, and her story is remembered forever. But I'm not so sure this means that her story has a happy ending. If indeed she really did give away her last two small copper coins, then it is likely that she went home from the temple and died. Jesus says, "But out of her poverty she put in everything she had, all she had to live on." She was an impoverished widow in the first century Palestine, a woman living on the margins of her society. She had no safety net, no husband to advocate for her, no children to support her, no pension to draw from, no social status to hide behind. She was vulnerable in every way that mattered. Two pennies short in the end. And while she is noticed, Jesus talks about her but not to her. She remains unnamed and unknown. And as she slips out of the temple, she slides into invisibility again. So where's the gospel in this story? Where is the good news in this story, which kind of breaks my heart? To quote one of my favorite biblical commentators, he asks it this way: how does this story of this poor widow, who presumably gives her last two pennies and fades away into oblivion, how does this connect to our confession that Jesus is life, death, and resurrection? In those things, we behold God's love for God's children laid bare. Where's the good news in this story? Well, the good news is that we worship a Savior who sees and notices what we are too busy to see. That just as his eye is on the sparrow, we know it is ever on the small and the insignificant and the hidden. And the good news is that the God we worship sees our struggles and recognizes our challenges and cares about where we are hard-pressed to make ends meet. No one else in the temple would have noticed the widow giving away her last little gift of love. Not the scribes parading around in their fancy robes, and probably not even the disciples who were there listening to Jesus. She would have slipped in and slipped out, disappearing among the crowd. But Jesus sees her and pronounces that she has given more than anyone else, because she has given her whole life. It is easy, so easy, to be like the scribes. It is so easy to look through people or to look past people, never really seeing them. It is easy to hold people at a distance, keeping them at arm's length, especially those people with whom we have nothing in common, or those people whose lives are so very different from ours, or those people whose lives are so very painful, we can hardly bear to look at them. But if we worship a Savior who notices and loves those who are invisible, then we are called to go and do likewise, to really see those in our lives and in our community who are in distress, and to help them find comfort and relief. And another little bit of good news is that this doesn't mean going out and reinventing the wheel and starting a whole new project or organization or ministry. It simply means taking the time to notice and to see where God is already at work among those who are invisible, those who have been discriminated against, those who are exploited, those who have been abandoned. We just need to look around for what God's already doing and get on board with that. Just as God honors the widow's tiny gift of love, her very last two small copper coins, so God honors our gifts of love, however many copper coins we have, and all of the ways that we have been blessed in order to be a blessing to somebody else. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.